Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Don't Kill the Messenger with your host Victor from VentoBot. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about something on a topic that most people tend to avoid or really not talk about so much. And it has to do with profit and how your business really focuses on your cash flow. So I have a special guest today, and she helps business owners that have a better relationship with their cash flow using the Profit First system, something that I personally use in our business and have found amazing results because of it. It's just a game changer when you actually implement it. And when you have someone implementing it for you, it's even better. That's something I wish I knew. I met her way back when we actually started implementing. So now, before we dive in, head on over to ventobot.com/book to get your free copy of the Complete Automation Strategy, the four phases we use to generate never-ending leads online. Same thing we go over with our private clients to take them from six figures to seven figures and really remove themselves and allow them to automate their lead gen. So welcome to my special guest today, Julie Shopa. Hey, Julie, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
That's awesome. Really, yeah, no, I'm so excited. We met at an event, I believe it was David Fagan's, right?
Yes.
And then, yeah, so then I've been to so many virtual events, I'm sure you've been to as well. And when we got to talking, I was just like, something you mentioned specifically about Profit First, you mentioned something about it. And I was like, oh, hey, I use that. And it just a complete game changer. I feel like not enough people actually know about it or implement it or know how to. So can you give us like a brief description of what it is to begin with?
Yeah, there's still tons of people all the time that I run into that have never heard of it at all. So Profit First is a system of managing your cash flow in your business based on the book Profit First, written by Mike Michalowicz. It takes the whole equation, like the traditional accounting equation of sales minus expenses equals profits, and flips it to sales minus profits equals expenses. So you take your profit first and then make sure that your business lives on what's left, so that, you know, it's a way to guarantee that your business is going to stay sustainable because there's a profit. And it's pretty similar to kind of, I don't know who all is familiar with Grandma's envelope system, but nowadays,
yes, I know
it's, exactly, but yes, it's like taking little buckets for your money, but you're using bank accounts, because most business owners, the way they make their spending decisions is they look at their phone and they log into their bank. They're like, oh, there's enough there. You know,
that's how I used to operate, by the seat of my pants. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So when you have this system, you're leveraging that behavior, and you're just going to have multiple accounts to look at in the different buckets so that you can see what you really have left to spend, because you've already moved out your profit amount. You're going to transfer an amount to pay yourself so that, you know, because as an entrepreneur, we don't start businesses to work for free. We actually want to make money. So you want to make sure that you're setting that aside. And then taxes. Taxes is another area where there's just it's amazing how many businesses just don't plan for that, and then they have a killer year, and all of a sudden they're like, oh no, I didn't keep the cash to pay the taxes on that, you know. And so that you don't have to have that sleepless, stressful experience, if you set that money aside, you can be like, oh yeah, I know I made that. When you go to your accountant, it won't be a shock. It's like that great feeling of like, no, yeah, I was prepared, it's here, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome. But one of the things for us, I know, is because we've implemented it the last couple of years now, our CFO is really focused on, like, within maybe a week at the beginning of the year, like she gets everything ready like in December, maybe like November. But then at the beginning, the first week of January, when it comes like tax season and time to talk to our accountant and all that stuff about, like, all that stuff that businesses don't really want to talk about, but we have to deal with, she literally is just like, here you go, everything's ready. Our accountant, I swear, they said, like, you are our favorite clients because you have everything ready immediately when I need it. And it allows us to be a better client for them. And it allows them to maximize what they're doing for us on that side because of how organized everything is on the back end. And like I said, I wish I knew, met someone like you back when we were first implementing it, because when she was trying to figure it out, I would say, like, it was a headache. I didn't want to do it. I didn't even read the book. I kind of got like snippets of it from what she read. And mm-hmm. it's it can be overwhelming to go over yourself and try to implement yourself, especially if that's the, but as business owners, as we scale and as we grow, I feel like that's definitely, we have to do those things, but it kind of takes us away and it's not our zone of genius. It's not our comfort zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So definitely finding someone like you for sure is to help implement it and help guide that is someone to really look for and so that we can be even more profitable in the back end.
It does really help to have somebody walking you through that because a lot of most business owners are expert in what they went into business for and not necessarily financial. You know, they don't have that financial background.
Yeah.
And when you're, you know, growing your business and managing your team and trying to keep everything going, the last thing that you're going to try and do is the thing that you're not real comfortable with anyway. And it's so easy to let the accounting sit on the back burner because it's not screaming at you, you know, except maybe in your tax time. But it's just makes such a difference unless you, you know, you really have a handle on that. You can't, you're not going to grow the way that you would grow. And you're definitely not going to have the profits that you would have. So I've seen it make it even to just start. Like, so if you don't, it depends on the size of your business, but if you're at, or how much, you know, what the state of your business is, but even if you can't get your head around any of it and you're like, I can't even deal with this now. If you just take 1%, like just set up a whole nother profit account, stick 1% in there and forget about it for you. Like keep transferring it at 1% of your revenue and then wait, just do that for a year. If you can do that for a year or a quarter, depend, you know, for me, I did it for a year because I was like, I don't know where the rest of the, all these other accounts, there wasn't enough income at that point.
Yeah.
But after I was able to do that for a year and it was like, lo and behold, there was this like chunk of money sitting there. It was like magic because I didn't feel it going. You know, when you get in the habit of transferring it, you stop feeling the, you know, it's not like this big chunk at the end of the year. It's just that little bit going periodically. And that was like such great incentive to really like, all right, I'm all in now. So for me personally, just doing that little step was huge. With my clients, they've similarly like, I don't know where this money's coming from, but let's see what we can do. And, you know, I go back and tell them, look, your accounts are growing. I mean, so it's kind of fun to watch them grow.
Yeah.
You know, just to just jump in and, you know, give it a shot.
And I can speak to that experience too. Like what, one of the first things like before and after, because before we would try to, at the end of the year, try to be like, all right, we're going to put this big chunk here, but it almost hurts because you're like, ah, I'm pulling it from like that month's revenue usually. So it almost feels like you're doing yourself a disservice. Whereas like you did it for the course of the year. We implemented it. We're like, all right, let's see how this works for 2 quarters. Yeah. So we did that and we started a very similar way, like a 1% here for profit, another percent there for, I think it was taxes or something like that. Right. And it really doesn't, and that we did this, and I think I'm not sure if you mentioned this, but every time any type of revenue came in, it was split up that way. It's not just like, oh, this is like the big revenue that we get, and then we get these little sales here and there. No, it's like any sale or any type of revenue that came in, it was broken up this way. So like if we brought in a new client that paid in full, that big chunk that came in, we took 1% of that and put it into that account and 1% and then put it into another account. So we saw 98% of that, but the other 2% got split up. And then at the end of the quarter, it like made a huge difference. I was like, wow, this like investing in those other things and like paying those quarterly taxes and everything like that didn't feel like it was hurting that from that month's revenue. It was added up over the course. And I think there's even in there that like where you have like distributions and all this stuff like that, that we, I don't fully understand. I kind of have an idea, but I'll let you talk more about that as well.
Well, that part's kind of fun. The distributions are to be the same as like a corporation will give quarterly distributions to their shareholders. That's often done when they're profitable. And so it's doing that in your own business because it's part of looking at your business and taking it more seriously as it's like a real business.
Yeah.
Also a reward for, you know, you've been working this system and here's this money, you've made this profit, and then each quarter you're supposed to take 50% of that. And then you're not supposed to invest it back in the business. You're supposed to like do something fun with it or something cool or something, you know, like for your family. Or some people will, I mean, it depends. People have different things and it depends where you are. I mean, for one person, it's like, I mean, the first time that I think I did it, I was like, I got myself a pedicure, you know, so other people are going on vacation. So it just depends where you're at, but just having that, it's something about the behavior reinforcing, you know, that you stuck with it, because it's hard to do that when you're not sure where it's coming from. And you know, like that big bill comes in and you're like, oh, I should borrow from, no, don't borrow from that account. And you start to get creative. How can I pay this? Do I really need this? You know, with some of the things that you thought were so necessary as operating expenses, when you start to really look at them to get creative, because you're now, you know, doing this process, that can be kind of cool to see just what you really can do without, or just what you can, the better deals that you can get for yourself in with maybe vendors or whatever. So it's kind of like, it's like a game kind of, or you can make it like that.
It's fun. And I'm a huge fan of that, because I feel like it really does take like an older method and it improves upon it for sure. Mm-hmm. And he did kind of gamify it with that way. Like, that's one of my favorite things looking forward to. I like, not only do I love going to quarterly meetings and having them with our team, specifically because like we get to look into the future and see what's possible, where we're going, and the expansion that's happening, but also like, who doesn't love getting a chunk of like money and distributed to you? And it's kind of like, mm-hmm. Oh, here you go. You know, it's like an extra little like gift, and it's really nice. Mm-hmm. So at first we started very similar. I said the first 2 years before our business, before we found it, it was kind of like all over the place. The first year we implemented it, it was very similar. We ended up getting ourselves like, it was like a small 3-day weekend getaway, right? That's kind of how much of the distribution that came to us that we were able to do. It was great. And it was like a small little thing, but it was like a family vacation and everything like that. Now we're able to do a lot more because the way it's done, like you said, 50% of that. So that 50% stays in there and it grows. So next quarter you have that much more. Mm-hmm. As well. And so like the chunks get bigger and bigger as you have it longer and longer, and it's, which is really nice. Like now we're able to take more elaborate vacations compared to like a 3-day getaway in our state, you know? So yeah.
It's just cool the way it works.
So what would you say are some of like the common pitfalls that people run into when they try to do it themselves, or when they start to try to like think like, oh, maybe this will help with profit?
I would say that people jumping in and maybe trying to do it too much all at once, like looking at the chart, because there's the percentages where you really are, and then or current allocated percentages, and then there's the targeted allocated percentages that you're supposed to take to move from the revenue that comes in into the account. So if you're just going to jump in and be like, we're going to go for the target allocated percentages, and it's not, you really can't sustain that yet. You can jump in full force and then realize that, oh my gosh, this is too much. And then just quit. So that's not, you know, like, so you want to take it slow enough that you're going to be able to stay with it. So, and that's something that when you do the initial assessment, the instant assessment, you can kind of get a feel for where you're really at. Because a lot of times, a lot of business owners don't realize where they're at. I mean, even the very first time that that I did the instant assessment was after I saw Mike McAllowitz speak. I was at a seminar, took the book, read it on the way home on the plane, and thought this would be great. This would be great for my clients. And so then I do the assessment on my business, and that particular year I was like, oh no, where's my profits? I had profits last year, but I had hired an employee, and it was like, that was kind of the difference, was her salary, because it just didn't, I had hired her with the intent of growing the business to cover that expense. Yep. And it didn't happen that way. So I had made changes. I did end up laying her off at that point. You know, regrouped, but I wasn't aware of that, and that's, I mean, my books are up to date, I just haven't looked at them. you know, because I mean, that's part of what I do. So just having, you know, sitting down and taking that look, it's like ripping the Band-Aid off sometimes. Depends on your situation.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people that are drawn to Profit First and choose to read it are kind of have a cash flow concern. So therefore, it's usually not necessarily a happy event seeing where you are. But which is one of the reasons, if you have somebody there doing that with you, like, you know, like I can encourage you that it will get better. Let's do this.
And that's, I think, one of the things for us that was difficult. Like, we really had to look and like, if you're a serious business owner, I think it's necessary, whether you do it alone or with someone. I would say definitely do it with someone who can guide you through it. Because for us, some of the pitfalls, from what I remember, it was like, it was tough to really look at it and be like, do we really need this? And it's like, oh, well, the business didn't really need it, but it was something nice to have for the business, but we weren't able to sustain it. So it was cutting into our profits at that point. So I was like, okay, so what do we want more? Do we want this cool thing or do we want the profit? Like, choose, and that's more of a decision, like from a, like a CEO perspective, that those are the decisions that, do you want the business to grow or do you want to just be cool with what you have?
Yeah.
You know, so it really pays to have someone like you who can be objective about it and be like, so, because you're not tied to it emotionally like we are,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you can look at it and be like, these are the numbers. This is what data is telling us. And this is the decision you have now, compared to me, where I can kind of like emotionally round about it and be like, well, I can justify getting that, you know, because I want it as a business owner to the business or whatever,
yeah.
right? Compared to something like that. It allows me to make better decisions to have someone like you really go through that with, for sure.
Well, and it's also helpful to have somebody help, you know, like brainstorm ideas of how are we going to make these shifts?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's cutting expenses or it's looking at how, you know, who are your best clients? How can you get more of this client versus that client? You know, I'm just somebody to help you think through. But sometimes you can kind of get frozen when you look at it. You're like, oh, I don't know how to fix this. So, you know, having somebody to help, you know, help come up with ideas and help you to see like a bigger picture with it.
I love that analogy, because that's the same. It comes to numbers. The same thing happens to us for some of our clients, right? We're running ads for them. They come to us. They're running ads. And then they come to us to scale those ads even more. Now, at that point, they see the numbers coming in. They're like, okay, this is my cost per lead in general. These are my conversion rates. These are this and that. But they don't fully understand how to use that data, right? Mm-hmm. And that, like, for me, when I look at those financial numbers, again, I don't know how to use that data. Although I focus on numbers on the ad side of things, but for financial, I'm kind of like, well, what is it telling me? I don't know how to read this information. It's like a foreign language to me. And someone like you really helps to like put it in a simplistic form that says, like, this is what this means. These are the decisions you have. And I love it, because like, I feel like most business owners who truly are serious about scaling and growing look to make things faster, never easier, and not necessarily easier, because there's never like a quick fix or like a magic pill or anything like that. But I'm sure you've realized yourself as well, like, usually we look for someone to speed up that process for us, which is why we work with others.
Yeah. And that does really help speed up the process, because there's the things, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, just can someone that's used to being in that process can help you avoid pitfalls and whatnot.
So exactly. Yeah, because like it could take me a year, or it could take me 2 months with you. Which one do I want? Like, a year by myself or 2 months with you? Like, what? How, you know what I mean? And that's really all it comes down to. Like, the ones who are serious are the ones who are really going to look for someone like you to really help implement that. Because that's I feel at least that's what I try to talk about a lot as well. And, you know, I've heard it. My mentor says it all the time. Like, be the client you want to attract. So, you know, we're investing in someone like you to be able to speed up that process. We don't have the time to try to figure out and learn what we don't know. So.
Well, yeah, there's so much. I mean, you always have to look at what, you know, what are you really good at, and what's the value of your time, and how she, you know, because time is like that. We can't get that back. So it's so important to be using it wisely. And I mean, I'm all for like surrounding myself with experts. I don't want to do everything myself.
Right. And that's like you mentioned earlier, like most business owners who got into business because they know how to do this cool thing, this one thing that they're really good at. But then as a business owner, we realize we're also taking on a bunch of other things that we don't understand yet. And we'd look for guidance with that. Like at first, yes, I understand you have to kind of learn. And it's not that we hire someone because we don't want to learn it at all. We need to understand what's happening, but this, we don't need to know how to, like the minuscule details of how to make it even better. And so it's interesting how, because I'm sure, like you said, like what's your experience? Because I know you said before on a conversation before this we had, that you took a group of business owners through this kind of like a case study, and they started seeing some amazing results to actually implement. And they were just like ecstatic about it. Right.
Yes. Just the idea that everything is in place, because these are all of them had experienced the situation where maybe they were able to pay their taxes, but they weren't sure. They had to scramble to get the money together type of thing. And now they don't. And that's like, that's one of a lot of people's favorite thing is that they don't have to worry about that at all. And that they have profit. Like they know their business is profitable because they have that profit, that growing. Those are the two key things. I mean, for the third main account, the owner draw account, like where you're paying yourself, different people handle that in different ways. Some people put themselves on payroll and some people do that. So they don't talk about it as much. Most of us make sure we get something so we can kind of get it. But so it's usually the profit account, the tax account, that those things. And then there's just other ways that you can use it as well. Like for me, with hiring an employee that I couldn't really afford, if I had known the profit first way before that, one of the things they recommend is if you think you want to hire somebody, figure out what you're going to pay them and then start and set up an account for that and put the money aside for a month or two. If it's easy enough to do that, if it doesn't hurt putting that money aside, then you can afford that employee. And then when you hire them, even if it doesn't work out, you already had that money set aside. And, you know, like, so it's like, I don't know, sort of like hedging your bets, but it keeps you from, you know, causing yourself financial harm if things don't work out even.
That makes sense.
You know, which, I mean, ideally you would make a great hire, but there's plenty of us that have stories that didn't happen. We tried, you know. So that is just such a kind of a practical, easy way, you know, without even doing some kind of big break even of like, here's my anticipated revenue, blah, blah, blah. Can I afford this? Just set the money aside. You know, so I like the simplicity of it, that it's something that just is so practical.
It really is. Like, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And it's really nice knowing like that's it's handled and everything like that. And there's like, it just keeps growing and growing as business goes on for us. Right. I can't imagine how we would be right now had we not found that then, like 3 years ago. That was, no, not even. Yeah. 3 years ago. Cause the first 2 years of business, I didn't know about it. Right. And it was introduced to me like just in talking. And 3 years ago, it's just completely changed how we run on that back end there to be even more profitable, which is fantastic. So I know at this point, like there's probably people wondering like, okay, so what, how do I get it? Like I probably looked it up by this point, like Profit First by Mike Michalowicz, who he also has a couple of other books. Yeah, several of them now. How can we get in touch with you to really move it forward if this is something we want to see, like get serious about getting even more profitable in business?
We can reach me. My email is julie@clarityfinances.com. You can schedule a call with me at the website clarityfinances.com. That's where my link is for that. And if anybody is interested in the PDF copy of the first two chapters of Profit First, the book, you can email me for that and I can send that out.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So then definitely do that. Reach out to Julie here. And you said it was Julie at, what was the domain?
Clarity Finances.
julie@clarityfinances.com mm-hmm. And get all of the information, schedule a call with her to see what's possible for you and your business so you can scale it even better. And now, any final words that you'd like to leave us with, Julie?
Mike McCallowitz signed my book, Take Your Profit First. And so I it's really important to take your profit first. And you know, you work hard, you deserve it. Take your profit first.
I love it. I love that. It resonates with me. Like, I mean, definitely. Yeah. If we started a business to help people, but also to better ourselves and our lives. So if we're working that hard, why not reward ourselves with it? I think we fall into this trap of like, oh, we have to reward ourselves. There's this like mindset of like, oh, we started a business to not work 40 hours for someone, but work 80 hours for ourselves. But like, why? I don't want to work 80 hours for myself. I don't want to work 40 hours for somebody. Like, I want to like get to a point where I can sustainably run this business with perhaps 10 to 20 hours a week, if that, you know, and like my team can take care of a lot of it. And that's, if that resonates with you, definitely reach out to Julie. I'm sure she can find ways to help you get to that point. All right. Well, thank you so much, Julie, for coming onto the show today. I truly appreciate it. I know it's a big topic that I think a lot of people really avoid. I get it. It's hard to look at things that make us uncomfortable and we're not comfortable with outside our comfort zone. But that's why Julie is here, to be able to help you go through that and understand it so that you can go and expand as scale as quickly or as slowly as you'd like.
Yes.
So thank you again so much, Julie, for coming on the show. I truly appreciate
it. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. So now before I forget, if you're serious about generating never-ending leads online, head on over to ventobot.com/book to get a free copy of the Complete Automation Strategy, the four phases we take our private clients through to generate never-ending leads online. And it's a predictable process that we've helped them scale to 7 figures, even up to 8 figures with some of our clients. And until next time, I'm Victor with Ventobot, and I will see you on another episode.